Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there. Welcome to Dudes on Hockey, episode 96. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Nice intro, dude. That was a great radio voice.
That's like my Ryan Seacrest voice. We gotta go high and low. This is American Idol.
Don't ever do that again.
Okay, I promise.
That was in a good mood.
Okay. Dude, we're still in a good mood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything's been going great since a little
thing I like to call episode 95B.
Oh my God.
Should we take just full credit for these wins, dude, or just partial credit?
I'm going to be humble and say we're going to take full credit.
Nice. That's good thinking.
Absolutely.
For those of you who may be joining us for the first time and fell onto our site because of Puck Daddy or Mike Chen's site or anywhere else, welcome to Dudes on Hockey.
Yeah, awesome. We had a record day. There's two days, the first day that we put out the exorcism, and the day after that were the two highest days we've as far as hits
that we've ever had.
So the Sharks' success and a little wacky black magic, mm-hmm. I guess you'd say, and all is good for right now in Sharksland. Sharks win tonight 5-0 at home.
Yeah,
Craig Anderson goes from Superman to
the greatest American hero falling out of windows.
Yes. Not so good.
No.
Tonight. It sure looked like everything was going to script, though, in that first period.
That's right. The game could really go either way. It was 0-0 after one. And if you don't follow my tweets, which I wouldn't understand why you wouldn't follow the Dudes on Hockey Twitter feed, but if you don't, by some horrible freak of nature, I tweeted that same old thing, plenty of shots, plenty of scoring chances, no goals. And the Sharks managed to get on the board finally through some hard work. And then things kind of fell apart for the Avalanche. Craig Anderson looked completely out of position on two of the goals, one being the one where he tripped going across the crease and then had to dive across and Pavelski roofed the shot from the point, the other being Helminen's first playoff goal. Man, he's been a nice surprise.
Yeah, great energy. That guy's got a motor. He's really solidified that fourth line as mm-hmm. far as, you know, making them a force to be reckoned with. Tonight, the Sharks really could do no wrong. I mean, it seemed like all those bounces that were going the Avalanche's way in like the first four games were going our way tonight. Yeah. I mean, how many posts did the Avs hit?
Two in the last minute, I think.
Yeah, it was pretty ridiculous. I mean, there were some ones where the puck was just laying there on the goal. I mean, Nabby sort of accidentally fell on a puck one time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he played great and, you know, deservingly.
Yes.
It was the first star of the game. And ever since game two, where he had his, you know, Heather Locklear moment, I guess you would call, which would be...
I don't want to go out with Richie Sambora anymore. I don't know how that's really...
wandering aimlessly through Beverly Hills meltdown.
Yes.
He's been excellent. Mm-hmm. I mean, Nabby's been outstanding in game three, game four, and then tonight as well. And the Sharks really showed us what I think we've been expecting to see when before the series started. I think we kind of thought that maybe there'd be a couple games like this.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully they've got one more in them, dude.
Yeah, I hope so too. I hope so too. And I guess it's finally started to believe in some of the broadcasters. I know Randy Hahn and Drew Remenda have said, you know, they said that the Sharks really have this series sort of not in hand, but they're in the driver's seat, I think they said.
They even said that after the incident.
Yes, they did.
With when the Sharks went down 2-1, they were saying
all the right things.
And you know, and sometimes it's hard when you know, I Randy and Drew, there's no better announcers. And if you have NHL Center Ice, I think you probably agree, like watching some of the other teams' feeds, some of the announcers for other teams. Franchises are brutal
mm-hmm.
and almost impossible to listen to. They make you want to turn it off. We're so lucky to have Randy and Drew and even Dan and Jamie on the radio side.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Really fortunate. But, you know, they're definite homers. Okay. And
as all announcers are to a certain extent.
And it wasn't shocking to hear them preach the, you know, all is not lost. But, you know, they're really right.
It was hard to believe after the incident.
Oh.
And if you aren't looking at the Sharks Late Night Confidential videos on YouTube, you really got to check that out. It's Randy Hahn in a bathrobe. with guests in literally in his hotel room on the road. I don't think he'll have one tonight because they're back home. But if you want to check it out, you can either become Randy's friend on Facebook like I have, which I felt a little strange about that. I just became his friend the other night because I wanted a link to the video, frankly.
And he approved you?
Yeah, right away, actually.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't get blocked this time, so changing my name really worked out. But yeah, check out those videos. They're really fun. They're very entertaining. If you're a Sharks fan, you should be reading those. And I got to give another shout out to John Swenson of Sharks Page, who actually met us after the game, gave us the playoff media guide, the postseason media guide, which I have in my hand.
Sweet.
Game notes, all kinds of stuff.
That's more than just bathroom reading.
Dude, check this out.
What is that? Ooh.
Ooh.
Sharkspage.com. Is that a bookmark?
Ooh.
I believe awesome. This is a sticker.
Ooh, very cool.
So we got some sharkspage.com stickers. Thanks, John. John wasn't able to hang out and talk to us.
Yeah, he had to go down and take pictures and interview the players.
Yeah. I don't know why he wanted to actually interview the 19-year-old phenom that scored two goals versus two schlubs that make funny on the internet, but such is life. I didn't get a chance to have him sign the media guide, so we just got it. But thank you, John, especially because I know he links to the podcast. If you come here through Sharks Page, welcome. And Sharks Page has really done Dudes on Hockey a lot of solids over the past year or so when we've done the podcast. So thank you so much. And if you're not reading it, then you better start.
So let me ask you, dude, since this is really our first podcast since the playoffs have started. Going back to game one, which was really dreadful,
yeah.
And you see that the Sharks were just getting stopped in the neutral zone. They would enter the zone. They would try and pass back to the point, which has been the Sharks' formula all year. And either the puck would get tipped away or the shots would be blocked. What are they doing differently that's had them increase their shot total? And why are goals now starting to go in, dude?
Well, frustratingly, they're still doing some of that.
Right.
And especially the break-in on the power play we see. They attack the center of the ice with speed, and then they kick it out to the winger, who is inevitably almost at a standstill. So they're basically stopped at the point, and then they either, I don't know, try to make a short pass to the defenseman who comes in or down the boards or whatever. That always kind of irks me every time. But the Sharks are driving to the net a little bit more. They're being much more physical. I think a great sort of microcosm of what the series was the second Logan Couture goal, which is basically Ryan Clough not doing anything particularly nifty or swift. Basically, it was a one-on-one situation. He put his hand out, build himself a wall, one hand of the puck towards the net, basically pass it off the pads right to Couture, buried it for a second goal of the night. I mean, it's just an insane, awesome power move by Clough, and he's sort of figured it out. I can just bowl my way to places on the ice where I need to go, and the Avalanche just cannot stop him. They just don't really have the size to stop him, and Clough has figured it out. If only Joe Thornton would figure that out too. But I'll take Clough figuring it out.
Sure. It's no news to people who've been watching the series that the second line is clearly the top line.
Yes.
Right now with Seto, I mean, I don't know what the stats are tonight, but he had outshot everybody else by over 10 plus shots in mm-hmm. the series. I think he had 38 shots to Pavelski's 28. You know, and Clough also had a really high number. I mean, they're the top line right now. They're the thing that the line that's getting everything going for the Sharks. They have all the energy. They have all the momentum. I thought Heatley, you know, who missed game three
mm-hmm.
with an injury that, you know, I know you've speculated that it looks like a groin to you.
I heard somebody else say it was a leg. So, you know, I'm no doctor. I have no idea. I just watch House, mostly because he's funny and he makes fun of people. But that doesn't really give me any medical expertise. As much as I would like it to.
Okay, I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to say that it's his colon.
Okay.
Heatley's colon.
Could be lupus.
Okay. Heatley has... Now there's going to be an internet report tomorrow yeah. that Heatley has lupus.
Lupus.
Whatever's wrong with
that. Eklund, E2, Heatley, and lupus.
Whatever the problem is with Heatley, I thought he looked better tonight, right?
Yeah, he did. He did not look very good in game four. They... probably shouldn't have played him. I think he tried. He certainly did his best, but it didn't look that great. So he definitely looked much better tonight. We saw Marlow get a goal tonight, although it was the fifth goal, was it? So that top line still isn't really performing. If you read the recent blog post I did, I talked about Corsi number, which is essentially all shots directed at the net, and you can sort of mark it as kind of a plus minus number. And clearly, the top three forwards are Pavelski, Setoguchi, and Klo by a pretty decent margin. So, and the other guys aren't nearly performing up to that standard. So I just hope the second line keeps rolling. And if they don't, then, you know, there's a lot of room for improvement for the top line.
So outside of the second line, who's been the best player for the Sharks in the series outside of Klo, Pavs, and Seto? Who's really stood out to you so far?
I mean, Boyles look good. I mean, defense, or are we just talking forwards now?
Oh, talking anybody.
Talking anybody. Well, Vlasic's look good. I mean, he was top of the leaderboard in terms of Corsi.
Sure.
So, you know, he looks good. He hit some people tonight. That's a little not, you know, some hits that you can actually hear against the boards. That's nice to see. Vlasic's playing well. He's playing real well. And Nabby's playing well, too. So, you know, there's a lot of good effort I see. Malhotra's pitching in. He's playing well. Maybe he's not on the scoreboard, but he's doing okay. Nichols all over the place. Helminen's clearly chipping in. Couture's looking great. I mean, outside the top line,
You love everyone tonight, dude.
I kind of do.
Dude, make a choice.
Oh, I'm going to go
Brad Staubitz.
I'm going to go
Hamburgers.
Oh, poor Hamburgers.
I know.
He's been out since game one. Staubitz hasn't seen the ice in the series. You know, I wonder even if Wallin is healthy enough to play when he's going to return to the lineup, if he even will. Mm-hmm. I think it depends on who the matchup is, and I don't want to get ahead of myself. But if we do get into the second round, depends on the team, whether they'll go with Demers or Wallin.
I do have a guy.
Yeah?
Torrey Mitchell.
Okay.
Torrey Mitchell's my pick. They put him on the top line. He's got his speed back. He's hitting people. He's doing all those things that make Torrey Mitchell Torrey Mitchell, and it's great to have him back. And he's actually a force now. I mean, he's not, like, unstoppable, but he's doing exactly what we had in our mind that year and a half when he was injured. Okay, this is the kind of player he is. He is that player right now.
I want to show some love tonight. Jamie McGinn
was
in the middle of almost every scrum tonight. Scott Hannon got a four-minute penalty after he dropped with Hannon. He, you know, was in the corner or up against the boards for that charge. You know, he got hit by, I think it was McLeod, who took that five-minute major penalty. And after he kind of crumbled to the ice, McGinn got right back up and wanted a little taste, you know? Mm-hmm. And you got to like that from him, you know, a guy who is probably not used to playing that 8 to 9 minute energy role. You know, in juniors, him and Couture were the dudes, you know?
Yeah.
And they might still be down the road, but this is the kind of work that builds character and makes these kind of players complete. And I think this is what's going to keep Jamie McGinn in the lineup was a game like this tonight where he just seemed to do all the little things right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that overall attitude when people, frankly, like me, sort of lost some faith in the Sharks and were really, I wouldn't say I was like, oh, they're definitely going to lose the series, but I was discouraged and very, very worried. And these guys just kept playing their game. They kept playing hard, digging in the corners. And frankly, that's not really a style that we've seen out of the Sharks the last few playoffs.
Right.
And it's way too early to say that they've turned the page or, and, you know, it's smooth sailing from now on and they're going to, you know, they're a favorite to go to the conference finals or the Stanley Cup finals. But I really like what I've seen. I got to be honest. And things really didn't go their way. You know what? They've weathered the storm so far. And now they have a 3-2 series lead. They could wrap it up Saturday night. And, you know, the way the Western Conference is right now, it's anybody's game. So there could be some really favorable matchups yet to be had for the Sharks if they close this series out.
As of tonight, when we're taping, all the series are tied at 2-2. So, except for our series.
In the West.
In the West. You know, now we've gone up 3-2. We're the only series that's advanced that far.
Mm-hmm.
So the Sharks have a little bit of an advantage. They could hypothetically be the first team to finish, which could prove to be an advantage, dude. But looking ahead to Saturday night in Colorado, I have no doubt that this Avs team is not going to roll over and play dead.
Oh, no.
And they're going to give us everything that we can handle in that last game. And I think we can expect to see more of the same, more of the aggressive forecheck. And if the Sharks don't score first, I think that they're going to be in trouble on Saturday night.
Yeah, and frankly, it was relieving to see the Avs kind of lose their composure a little bit tonight, because they really did. I mean, Anderson did not look good on a couple of goals. They took some penalties late. They took that five-minute boarding call. They weren't happy with the way things were going, and they didn't really have an answer. So I hope that there might be some sort of psychological edge to be gained. I don't know if that's even possible, but you know, before it seemed like there's no time and space anywhere in the ice under any circumstances for the first four games. There's nothing we can do about it. And the Sharks just can't solve this problem that's been Craig Anderson. And tonight they solved it. You know, maybe they can build on that and hopefully put the series away on Saturday.
The team's made some good adjustments. You haven't really noticed Chris Stewart much.
Really not.
You know, in the last couple of games.
I didn't notice Paul Stastny tonight at all.
And he, you know, those guys were really tough on us in the first couple of games. So I think you got to give the Sharks coaching staff some credit here. You got to give the players some credit for having a little fortitude. And I guess if they make it out of this series, you know, this could be a, you know, great steamroller for them to have a lot of confidence going into the next round, going, geez, you know, we made it out of this huge adversity. You know, what's going to happen next? But you can look on the flip side, too, whereas, you know, every other team to go, oh, well, we have twice the talent of Colorado, and we see that if this is what you need to do to frustrate the Sharks, well, you know, then we're just going to do it, too. Mm-hmm. So we'll see.
But that's true, especially if we face a team like Nashville, which could play a sort of a higher-powered version of the Colorado game with better defense. I wouldn't necessarily say better offense, but certainly more explosive defense, possibly better goaltending. Pecorino has been great in spurts.
It's hard to imagine anybody playing better than Craig Anderson has.
That's true. That's true. But
until tonight.
Yeah, until tonight. But yeah, I mean, let's not get ahead of ourselves here.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of different matchups. I'm still not picking Chicago to lose that series. You know, the Kings series is up in the air. I know you picked the Kings to win. I picked Vancouver.
I still like the Kings to win that series.
Still like the Kings.
Yeah, I still do.
My confidence in Vancouver has definitely been shaken. And the Phoenix and Detroit series, I'm glad is going long, but I still think Detroit's going to win.
Sure. Yeah. No. That game tomorrow night is must-see TV for me, at least.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I'll definitely be watching both the Vancouver, LA, and Detroit Phoenix games tomorrow night. It looks like Washington has an opportunity to wrap up their series tomorrow.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So on the East, exciting, not so much. Kudos for your pick on Philly, dude.
Yeah, I believe I had that one.
You did. You sure did. And both of us appear to have gotten the Buffalo-Boston series wrong.
Yeah.
So that could potentially make for some pretty lame Eastern Conference semis, but we won't jump ahead into that just yet, dude.
Yeah, let's not get there quite yet. But unfortunately, it looks like the Philly gravy train may be coming to an end, as both Simone Gagné and Jeff Carter are both out with broken feet, of all things, one of which I believe Carter's came from the stick of Chris Pronger. So, you know, it's kind of a double whammy for me because, one, I had Jeff Carter in my playoff pool, so
oops.
Yeah. And two, having two of your first line forwards out, if they play Washington,
not so good.
Not so good. Although Claude Giroux had two goals tonight and Briere chipped in one. So they have some secondary scoring ability, but matching up against Ovechkin and company, I don't like their chances.
So I'm putting you on the spot, dude. Sharks going to win Saturday and end it? Or are we going to be going to a game on Monday night at the Tank, dude?
I'm calling a win on Saturday, mostly because I can't imagine how nervous and scared I would be on Monday night if they play Game 7. So I'm trying to, you know, in the interest of my own personal mental health, I'm choosing a win on Saturday.
I'm going to go win on Saturday too, but I think it's going to be
close.
Extremely stressful.
Yes.
And I'm thinking overtime for sure. I think that Colorado's going to play very tight and really try and prevent us from getting anything going and just hope that they can counterpunch like how they've won the other two games. They're going to be playing super hard, you know, and we'll see. I mean, if Hajduk or Mueller has any shot of being on the ice, you know,
they will play.
I think it would be surprising if you see Mueller just because a concussion's a concussion, but
Yeah. Yeah, and he's a young kid. You don't want to put his career at risk by suiting him up early. I think the NHL and other sports are finally getting the hang of that.
We might see David Jones. I mean, you know, they've been throwing out some guys who haven't played much during the regular season, so it's possible that we might see him. But let's hope this is over in six games, dude. And I also want to give a quick shout out to the Worcester Sharks, who have won their opening round playoff series 4-1 over the Lowell Devils, dude.
That's right. And it looks like they're going to be playing the Kings affiliate in the second round, the Manchester Monarchs.
No, Manchester Monarchs, dude. So they do have Jonathan Bernier, which makes, you know, winning a series pretty difficult. And he's probably the best goalie in the AHL, but you could also say the Sharks might have the second best.
Mm-hmm. And so Alex Stalock.
That could be quite a duel. I look at the Kings like roster, the Manchester Monarchs. I don't really know a lot of names on there. They have Thomas Hickey.
And Shen, right? Braden Shen?
Well, maybe he's on there now for the playoffs. Okay. I mean, they might have brought him up, but they had someone else, like Oscar Moeller or something like
that.
Yeah,
Oscar Moeller was
on the
team. Yeah.
But the other top players, I didn't really know. So we'll see, man. We'll see. We'll certainly keep you all posted on the Worcester Sharks as well in their playoff hunt, but hopefully we'll be talking to you again next week with a little preview of the second round instead of coming in here talking about a game 7.
The other thing is that it's likely Doug and I will be hosting Chomp Talk on AM 1220 on Sunday nights. I think this Sunday is going to be the last Sunday with me and my co-host Chaitin Chaudhary. So he's going to be out after that, and so me and Doug will be taking over. So most likely we'll have at least one show.
We certainly hope so.
And
more than that.
And so those of you in the Bay Area, or those of you interested in listening to us live streaming on the web, you can actually listen to that and call in, and we'll have more details as that happens. But that'll be the situation. So you might even be so lucky as to hear us twice a week. Wow.
Sweet.
God is great.
Wow, dude. You've got me. I feel so excited right now.
Isn't it great?
It's like a little girl at a princess party.
Yeah, it's like Sweet 16.
Where's Douglas Murray in a tutu?
I would pay to see that. Just not a lot. I'd pay like $2.
I can guarantee he wouldn't do it for that.
What if I really like begged?
I'm looking at your playoff beard right now.
It's bad.
It's not that bad.
I think the term I used with you on an IM conversation is... Should I not say this on the radio?
we just heard Mike's wife through.
She said don't say it. So I guess it's going to have to be left to imagination. Let's just say it doesn't look very good.
No.
It really, really doesn't. And despite my best efforts.
See, now I know I can't grow a full beard, so I just went for the playoff goatee.
Right.
Which is looking pretty good.
Yeah, but it is kind of weak. I mean, it's, you know, how many playoff goatees do you see, dude? It's either like beard or no beard. You kind of did like... You know,
Scott Parker.
You kind of did half-ass. So Scott Parker has like 20 tattoos. So,
dude,
are you going to tell?
Are you calling my playoff beard half-ass?
Yes, yes, I am.
Well, I think we found the new poll question.
Okay,
is a playoff goatee acceptable for a playoff beard when you know that your beard is going to look like Mike's?
But I thought you're supposed to have like a really crappy looking beard like Sidney Crosby or Devin Zetaguchi. Regardless, it's just like, it's a beard. That's what you got to do. Too bad.
We're going to put it to the listeners, dude.
All right.
Okay.
Because I think that's kind of wuss.
All right. I hear you.
I mean, I understand your job has certain requirements and I respect that, but still.
All right.
I wish you would go the whole way.
I understand.
What about like the chin strap? Civil War beard, maybe?
I'm planning on turning it into that.
Ulysses S. Grant.
I thought maybe at the end I might like get some mustache wax and do like a barbershop quartet mustache.
Nice. And then we could get some of them straw hats.
And we could get a pitch pipe.
Yeah.
And sing Light a Rose.
I got one of them.
Of course you do. Right underneath your Elton John albums.
Hey, you're the one who went to the show.
All right. We're completely off track, dude.
Okay, dude. I think we should wrap this thing up before we get... you know, way far afield. So
too late.
Thanks for listening to Dudes on Hockey. Go Sharks. We'll be back again next week. Same time, same place. And make sure to email us at questions@dudesonhockey.com or check out the Twitter feed or friend us on Facebook. You know, one of them social media.
So our next episode will likely be after game 7 or
yeah.
after we find out who we're playing next.
I think it'll be either, yeah, I mean, it'll be early next week, after Game 7, if there is a Game 7, and before the second round, if there isn't.
Fantastic.
Talk to you then.
Bye.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.